Please be seated. Today is another of Jesus' parables that we need to look at very carefully. And there are many characters in this parable. There's the vineyard owner. There are those that had leased the vineyard. And then there's a slave, or two, or three, or more, representatives of the owners. And then there's the vineyard owner's son. Now, this vineyard owner is probably a wealthy owner. I mean, there's not many people who can put together a whole vineyard and then leave town. But he basically comes along, he plants the vineyard, he puts a fence around it so that robbers and animals will stay out of it. He builds the pit for the wine press so that those who harvest the grapes are able to stomp them and press them and then barrel them into barrels. And he builds that watchtower. Now, I had to look up to see what it meant by a watchtower. And a watchtower was not just a place for someone to stand at the top and do what it says, watch. Watch for robbers or things that might be coming in to steal from the vineyard. But it was also a place for those who were going to lease the land to live. And it was a place where they would store the barreled wine until it was ready to be sold. So this watchtower was an important place. And this owner built all of this so that whoever was coming in to rent or lease the land from him would have everything they needed to start a business. What a cushy setup. Complete setup and startup. He was probably a businessman of some type because he invests in this vineyard. He probably saw this great piece of land and thought, wow, that would be a perfect place to grow grapes. Huh, I wonder if I could do some investing in that land and put everything in place and then get some tenants to come in and run it for me. And then this way they just pay me my tenant's fee and I can go off and about my business. Because he says, the scripture tells us he leased the land and then he left for another country. So he was going off somewhere. He's not working it himself. For all we know, he doesn't even live in the area. For all we know, he was traveling through and saw this land. And when he went back to the other country, maybe that's where he was going back to his family. There's a whole lot of white spaces between the letters that there's a lot of missing information about this owner. But what's important is that this owner provided everything. This owner even knew the proper time of the year in which the crops would be harvested. He knew the time in which the harvested grapes would be pressed and would turn into wine. He knew when the wine would be drinkable. For his contract with his lessee said that he would send for the lease fee in the due season. So he knew that, you know, if the grapes are still on the vine, it's no point asking for the lease fee yet because they wouldn't have made any money yet. So if this owner, probably wealthy, but also intelligent, knew what was happening in the industry and was ready to go. Now in this story, we see the vineyard owner is God. God set up everything for us at one point. It was called the Garden of Eden. Everything was there. Everything we needed to eat was there. God had already done all the work, did all the planting, did all the preparation, and then put in the garden Adam and Eve. Even all the animals that God created and presented for Adam to name weren't a hazard. Adam didn't have to worry about being attacked by the lion or the leopard or the elephant or whatever animal that might have been a hazard now. All they had to do was care for it. They had to care for it. The same instructions we still have today in caring. Now, granted, the scripture uses the term subdue, and it sounds like something we're doing in a military campaign, but if you go back to the Hebrew, that subdue means to care for. It was our job to care for the land. the land, God doesn't go off and leave us. God was always there. For Adam and Eve, God was there walking with them in the cool of the evening. God is with us no matter where we are. Whether we come to this building to worship or we worship from home, God is there. But things didn't work out. We know this from this side of the story. But we can also think about God in preparation and providing everything. We think about the Hebrew people. God provided them a land with milk and honey. The land was all theirs. They needed to cross the Jordan and conquer the people. Cities would be ready-made for them. There was enough land so that every tribe could have a portion. They were given laws of everything to tell them even how to eat, to how to work, to how to drink, to have relationships with others. Everything was in place for them. They just needed to be obedient. Again, things didn't work out so well for them. But let's pause for a moment from examples and move back to look at those who leased the land from the landowner. I mean, there couldn't have been anything easier to this setup. Everything was ready. All these people had to do was move in and care for the grapes until it was time to harvest them. They could lease the vineyard. There was no startup costs because the scripture tells us that the owner was going to send for his lease fee in a due season when there was time to get it. So there was no upfront costs. Now, granted, they did have some responsibilities, just as Adam and Eve did, just as the Hebrews did. These folks had some responsibilities. They had to tend the grapes. You want to make sure the grapes are not laying on the ground where bugs and animals will get them and cause rot to the fruit. You want to make sure that your plants are well weeded so the weeds don't grow and choke out the plants that have those wonderful clusters of grapes on them. You want to make sure there's enough sunshine and water and everything those plants need in order to grow to bursting on the bunch. These leasers had a huge opportunity before them. We are the wine leasers. And I'm fully there in reality, not all of us have the same kind of opportunities in life like these leasers had. Not all of us have someone else who's put everything in place for us and all we have to do is walk into it. Many of us, most of us, have to work extremely hard to get what we have in our lives. And depending upon our life situations, some have more opportunities than others. I know for me and my parents, and that's one step where I have the opportunities of others because I am fully aware that not everyone has both parents in their homes. But I was blessed to have both parents the entire time I was growing up and into my adulthood. So I acknowledge that there is some privilege there that not everyone will have. My mom was a stay-at-home mom until I was 15 years old. We were never hungry. Now granted, sometimes it was tough for my parents to figure out how are we going to feed four or six kids. Sometimes there were six of us around the table. The gentleman that lived next door, his wife decided, I don't want to be a mother anymore, so I'm leaving. And she left him with two little kids. And so when my mom was taking care of us all at lunchtime and during the day, we also had Karen and Eddie with us. And mom took care of them too, so sometimes she was feeding six of us instead of just four. And those were sometimes some hard meals. I remember many a cheese sandwich. I cannot eat a cheese sandwich to this day. Two pieces of white bread, some mayonnaise, and a slice of cheese that, you know, you had to peel out of the wrapping. And then it sits in your lunch bag all day until it's time for lunch at school and you pull out this warm cheese and mayonnaise sandwich on my bread. But that was lunch some days. Dinner was often macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. Although that's still my favorite comfort meal, so I don't really complain on that one. I know my parents, when it came to opportunities, were thrilled to death when I finally graduated from college. While not being the youngest, I was the last one to graduate because I thought I was too good for college and didn't need it, and didn't go to college until I was almost 27. But my parents were thrilled that all of their children had college educations. And while they couldn't pay for our college education, my mom would slip us what we kids would refer to as a rainbow. My mother had a checking account, and every single check had a rainbow on it. So when we got a gift from mom in the way of a check, we would just call, "Oh, mom gave me a rainbow." So every once in a while, when I would go and see my folks, mom would hand me a rainbow. She goes, "I know I can't help you with your tuition, but you know, here's some gas money, or here's the money for a textbook next term." So she would help me out as she could. My father was especially thrilled when he reflected on his life and the fact that his children were able to get college educations for someone not born here in the United States. He was born in Puerto Rico, and he loved to tell the story of him and his mother and his aunt coming here to the United States for the first time. It was right before the U.S. entered the World War II, so he and his mother and his aunt are on a boat, a big ship liner, and they have to sail with the lights off because they had to worry about submarines in the Caribbean sinking the boat because of the time period. And here he comes, he's 5 or 6 years old, coming to this country. But whatever our backgrounds are, whatever opportunities that come our way in our lives, we all, and I will capital letter that word all, underline, neon lights, we all have the opportunity for a relationship with the vine owner, God. All of us have that same opportunity. In our passage, we see that the one who leased the land rejected the vineyard owner and those who represented the owner. When the owner sent representatives to collect the lease fee, some of them were beaten and sent on their way. Some of them were beaten and insulted and then sent on their way. Some were killed. And the vine owner tried again and again and again to make a connection with those that leased the land. The vineyard owner tried to have a connection with the people. We can look at these representatives as the people throughout the Bible who tried to bring God to others, the prophets, the judges, Moses, and the disciples. Many of them were beaten for sharing God's word with the people. Many of them were ignored, imprisoned, punished, and many of them eventually became martyrs and died for sharing the word of God. And then there was the son who was killed, the son of the vineyard owner who was sent to the people and they killed him. We know that this son represents Jesus, who was sent for each and every one of us. You know, and just as that vineyard owner wanted a relationship with the people and who he was getting his lease fee from, so too does God want a relationship with each one of us. Unlike those who leased the vineyard, who had to labor for their lease fee, the gift of Christ, the Son of God, is completely free. We do not have to labor one bit for it. We don't have to pull a single weed. We don't have to do anything but accept the gift. We don't have to pay for it. There is nothing, nothing we can do to earn the gift. You can work as hard as you want, but it's not going to make a difference because you don't have to work and earn it. And I can tell you right now, there is nothing any of us can do to be good enough. Because the gift doesn't come with the criteria of, I'll only give it to those who are good enough. Christ offers it to all of us, no matter what our state or condition. Whether we think we're good enough or not, Jesus still came and died for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. We just need to say, I accept your gift. It's as simple as that. You know, this passage ends with the listeners of the parable hearing Jesus teach this story. They heard that the vineyard owner was being rejected. They heard Jesus say that because the vineyard owner was being rejected by those who leased the land, the vineyard owner was going to come in, remove all of them, and replace them with others. Jesus was giving a bit of a message to the religious leaders of the time. And they knew, because the passage tells us they knew, that Jesus was speaking about them. They knew that Jesus considered these religious leaders to be the lessees who were rejecting the vineyard owner. He knew the religious leaders were calling themselves the religious leaders of God, yet they were rejecting the teachings and they were rejecting Jesus. And they knew that Jesus was talking about the people when Jesus said he's going to come in, remove those who had leased the land and replace it with others. And from our side of history, we see that God's word was spread through the Gospels to the Gentile world. Those who were replacing those in the vineyard. The majority of the Jewish world rejected the Messiahship of Christ. And when the Jewish world said no, God opened the doors for others. Those who were considered the Gentiles and the pagans. We each have a part of the world that needs to make individual decisions about rejecting or claiming our relationship with Jesus the Christ. For the message that is in this parable today is also a message to us. Do we accept the gift of Christ or do we reject it? I truly believe that God gives us opportunities to accept this gift that are beyond our measure, beyond our counting, and even beyond our willingness to understand. There are many of us who just don't understand, how could God keep pursuing me when I am in such a state? Because we have judged ourselves, and we don't even look at ourselves with the same loving eyes that God looks at us with. And there are many of us in this place who can say, God came after me for years before I finally listened. God will come after us time after time and give us opportunities. Just as the vineyard owner gave those lessees time and time and time and time again to give the lease fee to the representative. God gives us the opportunity time and time again for us to also accept the gift of Jesus the Christ. And it's up to each one of us, ourselves, because we can't do it for each other, to decide, yes, I'm going to open myself to Christ, or I'm going to reject Christ and Christ's teachings. Who are you in the story? Who are you in the story? Are you one of those who reject Christ and Christ's teachings? Are you one of those who accept the gift of eternal life through Christ? My prayer is that we have each opened our door, and if we haven't opened it yet, open your door today to Christ and let Christ in. Amen. Let us rise as we are able to sing together our hymn of response.